The strip mall on East Speedway Boulevard in Tucson, Arizona, was the kind of place where dreams went to get a reasonable quote on term life coverage. A nail salon occupied one end, its neon sign flickering with the weary persistence of a candle in a draft. A subway occupied the other, producing the eternal smell of bread that wasn't quite bread. And nestled between them, in a unit with tinted windows and a door that stuck in the summer heat, sat Dominion Insurance Services. Linda May parked her Civic in the same spot she'd parked it every weekday for 7 years, third from the left, between the dumpster and the handicap space, where no one ever dinged her doors. She grabbed her coffee, her clipboard, and the Tupperware container of leftover lo mein that constituted her lunch, and she walked across the cracked asphalt with the measured stride of a woman who had long ago made peace with the absurd. The door stuck. It always stuck. She hip-checked it with the practiced ease of a woman who had hip-checked this specific door approximately 1,820 times, and stepped inside. The front office was small, beige, and convincingly boring. A potted ficus gathered dust in the corner. Pamphlets about flood insurance and liability coverage fanned across a coffee table. A sign on the wall read Dominion Insurance Services, protecting what matters since 1976. It was the most aggressively mundane room in Tucson, which was precisely the point. Linda set down her coffee, tucked her clipboard under her arm, and walked to the back wall. She placed her palm flat against a section of drywall between a motivational poster, "Teamwork, together everyone achieves more," and a fire extinguisher. The wall shimmered. A faint hum filled the air, accompanied by a smell like ozone and regret. A sharp, electric tang undercut by something older and sadder, like the ghost of a cologne worn to a funeral. She stepped through. The portal deposited her, as it always did, in the main lobby of Sunset Dominion, and as always, the transition was jarring. One moment. Strip mall in Tucson, 97 degrees, traffic noise, the distant existential despair of a subway sandwich artist. The next. A grand foyer with vaulted ceilings, marble floors veined with something that might have been gold and might have been magic, and a chandelier made of crystal that hummed faintly in a key that Dr. Voss had once identified as B-flat diminished. Through the tall windows, the grounds of Sunset Dominion stretched in manicured splendor. Rolling lawns, flower beds in aggressive bloom, a shuffleboard pavilion adorned with gargoyles that were decorative in the same way a loaded gun was decorative. In the distance, a hedge maze shifted lazily in the morning light, its walls rearranging themselves with the slow contentment of a cat finding a sunbeam. Beyond that, the Black Lake, still and dark as a mirror in a room where terrible things had happened, reflected the pocket dimension sky, which was currently a pleasant cerulean blue with tasteful wisps of cloud. "Morning, Ms. May." Nurse Ratchford was waiting in the lobby, which meant something was wrong. The ogre stood 7 feet tall in his scrubs, which were teal and had little cartoon stethoscopes on them, a gift from Carlos last Christmas that Ratchford wore with the quiet dignity of a man who knew exactly how absurd he looked and did not care. "What happened?" Linda asked. "Mr. Vulcanus and Countess Nightshade had a thermostat incident at 4 a.m. "How bad?" "He melted the dial. She froze the replacement. The common room is currently 63 degrees on the left side and 91 on the right." Linda made a note on her clipboard. "I'll call Murray. Also, the hedge maze ate a squirrel again." "Was it a real squirrel or one of the Verdant Kings?" "Real one. He's holding a funeral at 11. "Of course he is." Linda made another note. "Anything else?" Ratchford consulted his own clipboard, smaller than Linda's, with a cartoon cat sticker Carlos had placed on the back that Ratchford had never removed. "Baroness Vane's pudding. Situation is escalating. Grack says the dining hall inventory is off by 31 cups this week. He is, and I quote, personally and professionally insulted. I'll talk to her." Warden Ashcroft submitted his morning complaint. "Today it's the angle of the lobby door hinges. He says the current configuration creates, and again I quote, an inefficient entry vector that would not survive audit in any competent institution. File it." Also, the speed walking group and the regular walking group had an altercation in the East Corridor at 6:45. Captain Salt's car called the walkers, a disgrace to forward momentum. Grendelmaw, he's one of the walkers, didn't respond, but he did stand in the middle of the corridor and not move for 11 minutes, which Captain Saltzcar described as an act of war. Casualties? None. Bruised egos. Commandant Ironhide tried to mediate. He said, Mondays, am I right? Just kidding, we like to have fun. It's Thursday. Both groups told him to leave. Linda made another note. And another. Anything else? The dire maestro has resumed clarinet practice. Linda closed her eyes briefly. Somewhere, in a distant wing of the facility, the faint wail of a clarinet drifted through the ductwork like the ghost of a goose that had died with unfinished business. Noted, she said. Anything else? Ratchford hesitated. For a 7-foot ogre, he had a remarkably expressive face, and right now it was expressing something between anticipation and dread. The new resident arrives today. Linda closed her eyes. She had not forgotten. She had simply been hoping that, if she didn't think about it, the universe might take the hint. Right? She said. Staff meeting. Conference room. 10 minutes. The conference room at Sunset Dominion was designed by someone who understood that the people who would be meeting in it had, collectively, conquered roughly 40% of the known world across various timelines and dimensions. It was a room that said, Yes, you were once terrifying. Now please sit down, there are muffins. Linda stood at the head of the table. Around her sat the core staff. Nurse Ratchford, his massive hands folded politely on the table. Carlos Rivera, the activities director, who vibrated with a baseline energy level that suggested either boundless enthusiasm or a serious caffeine dependency. It was both. Dr. Amara Bennett, the in-house physician who had a medical degree, a degree in thaumaturgic biology, and a look in her eyes that said she had once treated a lich for a sinus infection and nothing would ever surprise her again. As you all know, Linda began, we have a new intake today. I want everyone prepared. She clicked the projector. A face appeared on the screen, sharp, angular, dominated by deep-set eyes that glowed faintly red, even in the photograph. A silver beard of magnificent proportions. An expression that suggested the photographer had been lucky to survive the experience. Mordecai Grimm, Linda said. Former Dark Emperor of the Ashenmoor Dominion. 40-year reign. Deposed 3 weeks ago by a Heroes Guild operative. A 16-year-old named Kalen with a prophecy sword. Carlos let out a low whistle. 16. That's got a sting. His file lists his threat level as Omega 7. Which is the highest classification we've ever received. Linda flipped a page on her clipboard. He commanded armies of shadow, wielded dark magic at a scale that the guild describes as civilization ally threatening, and at the height of his power, he could allegedly unmake matter with a thought. Silence. Also, Linda continued, turning the page. His intake form says, and I quote, allergies none. Dietary restrictions. Demands food be served on black plates. Special needs. Do not allow access to ley lines, soul gems, or the communal chess set. The chess set? Dr. Bennett asked. Apparently, he once enchanted a chess set to enact his moves on a real battlefield. Pawns were infantry. Rooks were siege towers. What were the bishops? Carlos asked. Actual bishops. He kidnapped. 12. Linda let that settle. He arrives at noon. I will handle intake personally. Carlos, make sure Bingo is prepped for Tuesday. I want him integrated into activities as soon as possible. Dr. Bennett, his medical file is on your desk. Please review and flag anything. Ratchford, I want security on standard high alert. Nothing aggressive. The last thing we need is to make him feel like a prisoner. With respect, Ms. May, Ratchford rumbled. Isn't he? Linda considered this. He's a resident, she said carefully. We treat him like a resident. If he turns out to be a problem, we'll deal with it like we deal with all problems at Sunset Dominion. With paperwork? Carlos offered. With paperwork. Linda stacked her notes. Any questions? There were none. There were never questions before a high-profile intake. Only the quiet, shared understanding that things were about to get interesting in ways that might involve property damage. Linda walked back to her office, sat down at her desk, and looked at the photograph of Mordecai Grimm one more time. 40 years. He'd ruled for 40 years. Longer than she'd been alive. And now he was coming here to live out his days among the flower beds and the bingo cards and the gargoyles on the shuffleboard pavilion. She picked up her pen and added one final note to his file. Room assignment, Obsidian Wing, 14B. West-facing window. Beige is non-negotiable.